love you.
So now I've decided I'm going to put the alarm way across the room by the bathroom so that I'll wake up and get to it.
For the transcript, Tuesday, April 9, 7:30, Janice's Joint Fellowship Meeting, Beijing, ICANN 46.
Good morning.
Wake up.
Oh, gosh. That was so tiring for me. Good morning.
Good morning.
Gosh, that's so much better. Good morning.
Can I hear an amen?
Seriously. Hallelujah, it's Tuesday. Because Sunday was so long, and then Monday was so long, and now it's Tuesday.
Tuesday, I'm
home. Woo. So here we are this morning, and it's all about me right now. It's not about you two talking. It's all about me. So I think you're all kind of getting used to the sense of humor and what we try to bring to the fellowship, which is we truly mean it when we start on a Sunday and say, we want this to be your living room. Whatever room they put us in, that doesn't matter. The fact is we're family from the time we get here, and we're family at the time we leave. And I love to get the relaxed laughter and chatter in the morning. And Rommel, why don't you come down and be closer to us? Really? Gosh, guys. It's just Tracy.
Yeah.
I know he's all, you know, chair, vice chair elect of the GAC and going to take over the world, but still, it's just... It's just Tracy.
We're objecting.
So this morning, we have two speakers, and then all of a sudden, Saranoush came up and said, oh, pick me, I want to speak too, because that's just Saranoush. She has to have the microphone. So we're going to hear firsthand from our fellowship alumni, Tracy Hackshaw, about entering into this world of ICANN and... moving through the ranks in several years' time, three years' time. And he is now vice chair-elect for the GAC, for real, and I couldn't be more proud, but I'm also just not surprised. From the minute that I met Tracy, he was ready to attack all of this, and he had his voice in the microphone from day one and questioned everything and everybody, whether it was a positive or a critique. He was very free, flowing with his thoughts and his vision, and so I'm not surprised. I'm just thrilled. Our second speaker this morning will be Leslie Cowley, the chair of the Country Code Naming Supporting Organization. Leslie has been a friend of the fellows for all the years since I have been here when she took the position over from Krista Spain, who now sits on the board. And Leslie is just nothing but charming and intellectual and generous with her time and energy and knowledge. So from this morning on through the rest of the week, anything that you need from Leslie, she's there to give. You're late. Yeah. Imagine me being your teacher. Really, think about it. Third and fourth graders, poor things, stressed out, or mom and dad were late getting them in the car, and it's none of their fault, and they walk in the door, and I just look at them and go, you're late. Make your mother and father get you up earlier.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yoo-hoo. That was a good rebuttal. We do need to leave this auditorium today at 8:45 because they have constituency day today. So some of the groups have quite a lot to set up, paperwork and presenters and such. So we are going to leave here at 8:45 today and go out into the big bad world of constituency day. So this is the one that just, Linda, the big good world, yeah. So this is the one that we talk about that's a little bit more difficult, just in the sense of being new into this. None of it will seem very familiar or welcoming. And I spend all my time telling you that you're welcome and to go through the doors and all of that. And then we get to this day, and it doesn't feel the same. So I again encourage you. Are we on? Okay. These are off, though. Oh, okay. Oh, crap. Don't interpret crap. I said it again. So this is the day you want to buddy up with an alumni, find out where someone else is going, go in and find a familiar face, somebody else who has a green badge on, and say, hey, I'm in this with you. But stick it out, right? If it's not your flavor, go on to the next type of organization. If you go into the not-for-profit and you listen a little bit into NPOC, it's not quite what you thought it was, and you realize that perhaps it's not right for you at this time, don't be discouraged. Pick your stuff up, go out, go to another room. Email me, go to the newcomer lounge, email one of the alumni, but do not waste the day because you're feeling uncomfortable or unsure in those rooms. Find the way. Good morning. And you too, you're late. Oh, Yasha, that's right, you're an alumni. I can't yell at you. That doesn't help you. So, crazy day. We're all here to help you, all here to support you. So don't let the day go by. If it feels a little weird, contact one of us, okay? Tracy, I'll give you, Saranoush, I'll give you your 5 minutes.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. I'm Saranoush Vartanian from Armenia. I couldn't resist myself coming and saying hello to all of you, because as usually we say among ourselves, once a fellow, always a fellow. So I'm one of you, and I'm honored to be one of you. And now I'm representing here, I'm with, on the capacity of representing nomination committee in ICANN, selected from AP Rallo ALAC region, Asia Pacific and Australia. I will be brief, just will make an announcement. Today, this is historically first time ever that nomination committee is holding open meetings. During these events, you may see three announcements in the schedule that nomination committee has the meeting. Yesterday we had outreach committee open meeting, and I was happy to see a couple of fellows there who raised interest to learn about it. You know that there are several open positions, leadership positions, to join ICANN leadership team. And nomination committee is there to select those people. This is independent committee from all other constituencies and committees here. So today at 5 o'clock, we have our first historical open meeting with public where you can come. It's from 5 to 6 in room 5B. Yeah, function 5B. So please come and listen what kind of positions are open and in which position you are interested, or spread the word in your own countries. If there are people whom you feel or see that this person can be a best candidate to serve in ICANN leadership, just encourage this person, him, her, to apply. Female are encouraged even more to apply to those positions. So I hope to see all of you at 5 o'clock today. Enjoy your fellowship morning meeting, and I hope that you all are enjoying this morning, very lovely meetings. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Saranoush. Saranoush is a fellow from way back. Yeah, 2008, was it? 2008, yeah. New Delhi, yeah. I met Suranush in Sydney, I think, yes. So that shows how old I am. I started fellowship program in 2009 in Sydney and did another one in Seoul in the next one, and then did another one in Cartagena in 2010. Out of that, I ended up becoming a member of the GAC. So, you know, when Janice tells you, find your path, and as you're here, so after the third meeting, I found my path, and I was on the GAC. I work in government, so, I mean, it was a pretty logical step for me, but it was very honorable to be representing my country on the GAC and so on. And just to let you know, the GAC is not the mafia. The GAC is not the Secret Service. The GAC is not that big, bad organization that has closed meetings and the doors are closed and security is outside and so on. Yes, some meetings are closed and there are reasons for that, but many are open. So we wish to welcome you in the open meetings, but the closed meetings are closed, unfortunately. And but it's not, nothing is going on there that's going to be very sinister or detrimental to the internet. We're not censoring the internet, as people seem to think. So just to direct you to the presentation, this is a reasonably dated presentation. I didn't have time to update this from Heather. This dated in the sense that the GAC has grown, especially since Wicket. The GAC is now 140 members, I understand, since this is dated June 2012, and we're now 140 government members. In the GAC, in this meeting, I think there are about 60 odd governments participating in person, and several IGOs, that is intergovernmental organizations. So that's the second bullet. They participate as observers in the GAC, and that's very important for those who are listening to the discussions in the GAC about things like the IOC, as International Olympics Committee, and the Red Cross issue. They are what they call intergovernmental organizations, and they're also observers in the GAC. So what is the GAC? Well, as you would have seen, I guess, on day one, the GAC is an advisory committee to the board of ICANN. We're not a supporting organization. We're an advisory committee. What that means is that what we do is provide advice to the board. That advice can be formulated over a period of time, whether it be over the meeting that happens here or over a period of several meetings. And what the advice does is that it attempts to represent public policy interest and policy matters that governments have in their own home countries. Now, as you know, governments represent the views of their citizens. So to a large extent, and some may disagree with this, but to a large extent, the GAC also represents users. We represent the views of our citizens and our businesses and our NGOs and so on, and through the government perspective. And what it does is aligns with each country's public policy, and they come into the GAC, this is the advisory committee, to present those positions and to have a discussion. I won't call it a debate, a discussion, to come to a formal position on issues. Next slide, please. Right. So how does the GAC work? Well, it has a very interesting place in the ICANN world. It presents advice, and this advice is something that actually is being worked on as we speak in terms of even adjusting what the advice looks like and how it works. But this advice is something that the board has to consider according to the GAC bylaws, and the advice that the board considers can either be accepted, can be maybe, let's say, taken into consideration, and in some cases, rejected by the board. if it's rejected, then there's a process that goes through to deal with that. The GAC advice is based on consensus, and this is very important. There's no voting in the GAC, no voting whatsoever. I've never seen a vote in the GAC, even though people have attempted to try and force a vote. There's no voting. Everything is done via consensus, and to a large extent, the meetings that we are going through in this meeting are going to be based on consensus. And that's important for those who are following what's happening in this meeting, because we, as you may have heard, they are formulating advice on the new GTLD program. And certain pieces of information and domain strings that will be presented to the board as formal objections. And it's very important to know when that advice comes forward, it's going to be consensus advice. So for the strings that you may be hearing about and all these, I'm not going to list them or detail them for you, and you can visit the GAC website to see what's going on. It's very open. You can see the list of the strings and so on that are being objected against and so on. The position of the GAC is that we will not go forward if there's an objection to the consensus. Right? Yes, so that's an interesting position that's being taken. So there will be no consensus if there's an objection to the consensus. So, which means that it's going to be a very difficult few days coming up. However, when the advice does come forward, as you're seeing from the slide here, it goes to the board, and then it's up to the board to decide what to do with it, as I said before. Importantly, if the board does not agree with the advice, then the board and the GAC must work together to find a solution. For those who have been around in the .XXX days, some of you may have seen what happened then. You would have seen a very interesting scenario developed where the board and the GAC sat down in a very difficult scenario and worked out the .XXX issue. The board ended up not accepting the advice, as you would have recalled, and went ahead and implemented .XXX. And furthermore, the GAC scorecard prior to new GTLDs, as you've seen a slide before, the board accepted 90% of the GAC's advice, but 10% was not accepted. And reasons were given for that as well. So some of the issues that we're dealing with, besides the new GTLD issue, would be basically stability of the DNS. Very big issue in terms of law enforcement, who is issues and so on. So that's a huge issue. After this meeting, we'd probably move on to those issues as a major topic of interest that'll become the GAC's agenda in terms of security of the internet and trying to understand how this program, the expansion of the internet and new GTLDs will affect the running of the internet and who gets domain names and that whole broad spectrum, as well as relating to issues that I see Leslie's here from the CCNSO. We do some work on the CCTLD issue as well, because governments do have some interest in the CCTLD issue. And even more so as the new GTLD program moves forward. And a major issue that's starting up is the strengthening of accountability and transparency in ICANN. You may have heard of the ATRT teams. First team was 2010, I believe, finished in 2010. And then there was a board and GAC working group to implement those recommendations, which resulted in a high-level meeting in Toronto, restructured GAC advice, a series of improvements, and now there's a second ATRT, which has just started, and that ATRT is looking at implementing a series of new recommendations and doing some metrics to measure how we're working against that. All of that is a result of the affirmation of commitments. I'm moving quite quickly. For those who are not familiar with that, that's the new arrangement between the ICANN board and the U.S. government, and that resulted in less control by the U.S. government of ICANN, if you want to use that as a phrase, and more geographic involvement. You have diverse involvement of other countries in the running of ICANN, which is part of what the NOMCOM message is about, and the fellowship program and all these things are about, trying to increase the breadth of the ICANN reach and to deepen the involvement of other countries besides the United States and Europe in the ICANN world. How does the GAC work? Well, we really can only meet three times a year. It's as you would have, if you come to a meeting, you'll see how large the GAC is. It looks enormous. It takes up an entire ballroom, the largest horseshoe table you can find. I counted them on Friday, and there were 85 people around the table, which is quite impressive. So we can only meet three times a year, given the nature of, I mean, seriously, to bring people like that together once a year is very difficult, far less three times. So most of the work is done actually intersessionally, in between meetings, on phone calls, via email, and sometimes via using webinars and so on. The key output is a communique, so it's something that comes out every meeting, and it's the negotiated text of what has happened in that meeting. Again, if you wouldn't be in those sessions when you're debating that text, but it's very debatable. It's very hard to negotiate text. So that's again consensus-driven, and the communique is a result of what a good representation of what happened in the meeting, based on consensus. We do try and have meetings regularly with the community. This particular meeting has been very difficult because our job has been to deliver advice to the board on the new GTLT program, and now quickly. So we've had to cut a few of our planned regular meetings with other constituencies, but every meeting you'll probably see a meeting with another AC or SO. Regular meetings probably on a Sunday or even on today. How do we work? We are pretty much working in subcommittees. So in addition to sitting around the table and talking, we also have these side committees that meet, again, at the meetings and intersessionally, that are led by topic leads. A good example of what we did was with the application support program. There was a group that led the developing country position and tried to look at how developing countries could benefit from a UTLD program. That was led by Kenya. And had many developing countries on that committee. And we also work with other communities through liaisons. So if not official liaisons, at the very least, they are regular type meetings between people who we know are liaising from other ACs and SOs with us. Yesterday, we had a lunch, for example, with the ALAC leadership, with their liaison, and we will continue having meetings along those lines as we go forward. We also provide, receive briefs from the community requested by the GAC and otherwise. So the GAC may make a request for a report on something. In this scenario, we talked about the ESAC, about security of the route and so on, and they will present a report to us, or staff will present a report to us and so on. And those reports are studied and reported on in the GAC in every meeting. Again, a chair and three vice chairs are elected to deal with the GAC's administration, and that's pretty much the executive. I'm the vice chair, one of the vice chair elects, and it's done through geographic diversity, so it's rotating amongst the various, geographic areas in ICANN. Slide. All right, so this is again a dated slide, but the early warning process, which you would have heard about, was a major change for us in the GAC, but we actually had to sit down and develop early warnings for new GTLD strings using a template and providing information in advance of our meetings. So we had to work intersessionally again to deliver that, and you will have heard that some countries are very prolific in providing early warnings, but again, it showed that we can work together intersessionally and work with the ICANN system and not just work in governments and our capitals. The GAC may also provide direct advice to the board in any GTLD, and that's what's happening now. And hopefully at the end of this meeting, you'll see the results of our work. I understand there's an 18-page document waiting for us today. So I can't really tell. I think it's now. We have to report at the end of this meeting. They're waiting on us, literally. And so we have to finish this meeting. I can't remember the exact date, but it's now, literally. Next slide. All right, so we've been doing things like capacity building sessions as well, another outcome of the review of the through the ATRT and the BGRI. And that we had our first session in March in Costa Rica, where we had a capacity building session with new members who were trained and brought up to speed on the ICANN process and GAC process and so on. Again, we had the high-level meeting in Toronto, and it was very successful. We had quite a large turnout of ministers and high-level officials, and we intend to continue along that process in engaging our governments to understand the ICANN model. So if you're familiar with the fact that ICANN and things like the ITU are a bit different, right? So the ITU is very familiar to those from the African region, from the Caribbean, maybe the Pacific region as well, in terms of they're the ICT agency, and ICANN is reasonably new to many of those regions. So whenever you hear about ICT and meetings and ICT, you tend to associate that with the ITU. So the ICANN world is new to many of those regions from government's perspective. So therefore, strengthening the ICANN footprint in those regions is very important for the ICANN government relationship to continue working in those regions and not have an ITU-focused approach as opposed to an ICANN-focused approach, but rather a general approach to issues. Another improvement, again, we made was very important. We've had conference calls and translation in our meetings in all six UN languages and Portuguese. So that's check that box. We can also check the translation of GAC documents. And now there are 20 fellowships for GAC members to attend GAC meetings, which was very, very different from before, where there were only five, I think five or less. Yeah, five or six, yes. So this has, GAC has increased membership and increased participation largely through this method of 20 fellowships. This meeting was oversubscribed, I understand. I recall seeing the list. I think there were 28 applications for 20 fellowships, so it's quite interesting. Again, here's our priorities that we're dealing with. I mentioned a few of them. The board, GAC recommendation for the BGRIWG, the GTLD issue, working with the framework of interpretation working group with CCNSO, working with law enforcement. There's a major thrust going on in that regard with Interpol and those agencies, and working with the various policy processes that are going on in ICANN and getting involved in an earlier standpoint. So there's a major thrust ahead to work closer with the GNSO in particular, as well as CCNSO, very early in the policy development process. And you all went through that already, the PDPs, the policy development process. Yeah. Have you all went through the policy development process discussion before? Right, so the policy development process, as you know, could be quite long and involves consultation with other stakeholders. The GAC normally gets involved at the end. Even though there's opportunities to get involved before, the GAC normally gets involved when the policies are probably already formulated and it's going on for consultation. So that's been flagged as an issue. And what's happening now is that there's a thrust to get the GAC involved very much, much earlier in the process, whether it be through some sort of committee level or some other method, so that we can be involved throughout the process of policy development, as opposed to the end where it becomes very messy.
And Tracy, when I say that they that this group understands PDP, I don't think that's the right thing to say. And an understanding of it would mean you really would want to be involved in it to feel it move, right, the mechanism. But on Sunday, just to refresh our newcomers, on Sunday, Rob Hogarth, the Senior Director for Policy, did talk about building policy and that it was community-driven and that the staff was to implement that community-driven policy. So when Tracy talks about PDP, the policy development process, that's all about that community-driven policy building, which would finally then get the advice from the GAC and then move forward. Right?
And exactly. So the issue has been that policy process get the advice from the GAC at the end of the process recently, although there are opportunities in between for that to continue happening throughout. So the issue now is to formalize the process of GAC input from the very beginning and moving it through the stages of policy development. So there's no. So when it gets to the end of the process, the GAC would have a input from the very start, and therefore there should be no real issue at the end. That's the thinking, because normally what happens is that it gets to the GAC at the very end, and there's normally a different discussion that occurs at that point. So hopefully we are going to amend that and take that to the next level, and that process is currently underway with both GNSO and CCNSO, and we will prepare our presentation, I believe, on I think it was Sunday, from the GNSO on where that has reached. And I've seen the CCNO slides as well, although I don't think we got that presentation on Sunday. So there's a group working on that as well. So basically, the GAC gets involved where it can. It's a very difficult process for the GAC, because we go back home and we go back to our jobs in government and we go back to our daily lives. And as I said before, because ICANN is not seen as a major issue in many governments, people tend to not focus on it. So whereas in the US and Europe and other countries, you may find there's a specialized resource dealing with ICANN issues. In other countries, that may not be so. So the thrust of coming here to speak to you is that I'm hoping that those who are in government or close to your government in your countries can reach out and indicate, look, the ICANN issues are important, and it's very useful to keep on top of it. If not assign them a resource to look at least keep on top of the issues. You can keep informing them. So when an issue comes up for debate, such as the new GTLDs, there's no silence from the developing world. Because right now, it's pretty much a silence. And you're having a debate between the developed world, and let's be frank. So you're having a debate between US, EU, and places like Australia and so on. There are debates from Brazil and Argentina, but they're specific to their issues. So, but we don't hear much from the other parts of the world, except for Africa, on that Africa. So we want to get some more discussion going about other issues, some more input and less silence in the room when these things come up. I'm just saying that. And we hopefully will have that pushed through by the time maybe the next round happens, that we are more involved and we're not just sitting and looking and watching the debate, the spark fly between other players. And we are watching on silently. All right, so thank you very much. The GAC website is gac.icann.org, gac.icann.org. And you can email that address there for any more information that you're looking for. And I'll try and get this presentation amended and get it back to you, Janice, in a more up-to-date fashion. Thank you.
Thank you. And Tracy, if you can stick around, I would like to give the mic over to Leslie at this point on the CCNSO, but I think it would be very interesting. I'm going to go to hold your question. I'm going to go to Leslie first, because I don't want to run out of time, because we do need to clear this room. So please write your question down, because I know we're going to have time to get back to it. But what's interesting is if you have the knowledge of what Tracy was just imparting with the GAC, and then with Leslie speaking about the CCNSO, it's quite an interesting combination of these two supporting organizations and advisory committees. So I think it'd be interesting, Leslie, if you would talk a bit about yourself, because I think it's always interesting how someone arrives here in ICANN, and then the work of the CCNSO, and I think that might lead some interesting questions.
Okay. How long have we got, Janice? Oh, no. Okay. All right. That's good. Okay. So good morning, everybody. Can you hear me okay? Yeah. My name is Leslie Cowley. Is it on? I think it's on. It's on. It needs to be near. Sorry. I'm very quiet this morning. I am very jet lagged this morning. I was up at 3 for some reason. Very awake. And so now I'm not so awake. Okay, so I'm a country code manager. This is how I got here. And the CCNSO is basically the bit at the bottom there in a purple color that is for country code managers. And I thought I would just check how many of you are awake as well. Are any of you country code managers, or do you work? Hey, I recognize you. Good. Okay, so one day you could be up here doing this presentation too. Yes, okay. The CCNSO is made up currently of 136 country code managers. So I'm a bit worried now the GAC seem to have more people. This will get competitive. But you don't have to be a member to participate. And in fact, there are a number of country code managers who, for various reasons, are not joining the CCNSO, but they are definitely there and participating. So we have some very loud discussions, too, with people participating who are not members. The important thing for country codes is that we all set our policy locally. So many of us have policy processes a bit like a mini ICANN in our own country, where we work with government, where we work with internet service providers and users and businesses and so on, to develop policy that is relevant for our country. And the important thing is that what one country may want, may desire, may be very different to a neighbouring country or somewhere else. So there is no requirement for policy to be the same across all of the countries. And that is something that many country managers feel very, very strongly about. So if you ever hear somebody at ICANN suggesting that all country codes should be the same, that's a good way to start an argument. So if you bear that in mind, the CCNSO's job is not to develop policy really at all. It has a very, very limited policy role because most policy is set within the countries. The other important thing to say to you is that we have a big variety of models in the country codes. So some are commercially operated, for-profit, they have shareholders and so on. Some are run by academic departments. Some are run by not-for-profit charities. One or two are run by one person still. And that is how UK started, though not me. The man who hired me, my boss, he was the man who started .UK, which is where I work. And he, many, many years ago, went to John Postel and said, "Can I run .UK?" And he was asked why he wanted to run .UK. And he said, "Well, I think it would be a good thing to do for my local internet community." And John said, "Okay, here you are, .UK. Kind of, that seems like such a long, long time ago. And for Nominet, we actually started in 1996 when John Postel gave .UK to Willie, my previous boss. So we have a lot of different models. We also are at very different stages of growth and evolution. Yeah. So some of us run very big country codes. We have multi-million dollar or pounds, whatever your currency, budgets, and we have hundreds of people working for us. So .UK is one of the biggest, though not the biggest, country code. We have 10.4 million names. I have a budget of £26 million and 140 staff. And yet, my opinion, .UK opinion, is just as valid as Namibia, for example, who have one or two people, and not so many domain names. And so that is why the Country Code supporting organization is a great place to interact and to have good discussions about how your country code is developing and what policies you are developing nationally and how the internet is growing in your country. But it does mean that one size does not fit all. Yeah. So you will hear country codes saying this. No, one size doesn't fit all. We want to do something a very different way because that suits our needs or our local internet community. But we do a bit of policy, and Tracy actually already mentioned the major bit of policy we are doing currently, which is to look at delegation and redelegation of a country code. So no longer can you go to John Postel and say, can I have my country code? There is a process for that. It's not very clear, so we are trying to make it clearer. And also very difficult sometimes is when a country manager maybe is not doing such a good job or is out of country and the local internet community would like the country code to be run in country. Yeah. And so there's a lot of discussion around how might that happen? What would be the reason for moving from one operator to another operator? Sometimes there might be an agreement. Somebody might die or retire or whatever. And there might be a natural, easy transition. Other times, this is very controversial. I have heard of examples where there was a request to move from a country code operator to the president's brother-in-law. Not so good, perhaps. So what we are trying to do at the moment is clarify the existing rules that say this is why it might change from one person to another, from one manager to another, and this is the procedure that might have to happen. And for country codes, it's very important that the local internet community is taken into account as well. The other bit of policy that we have done, and in fact we have almost finished at this meeting, is internationalized domain names for country codes. And we have been working on this for many years now. We had a fast track where internationalized domain name country codes were authorized. And at the same time, in parallel, we ran a policy process. And that's just coming to an end now, which I'm very pleased about. But that's really all the policy we do. So how on earth do we fill 2 days? The good thing about the CCNSO for me is we share. A lot of us very much come from the internet ethos, the internet background, where we share our experiences, we share our learning, we share software, we share ideas. And one of the main things we do at the Country Code meeting is share our news, both good news and bad news. We share the latest legal developments and technical developments. There is a whole day that was yesterday for the techies from Country Codes to get together. And we learn from each other. And I have been in this community since 1999. So you might think, oh, knows lots. Each meeting I come to, I learn something new too from another country code manager. So it's a very vibrant community. Anyone can come and be involved. So it's a very good community to be a member of. And that's really, I think, the introduction from the CCNSO point of view. The other bit that I'm often asked about here, so I will cover it now, is a thing called Women in DNS, because you may have noticed I'm a woman in DNS. And when I first came to ICANN meetings, there were not very many women. And often IT does not appeal to women so much. So often we were meeting around a small table and said we ought to start a group. So there is a group of women in DNS. There's a lot more of us now than there used to be. And we are very passionate about encouraging women in ICANN to network with each other and to help each other, because we think that's a good thing to do. And to develop your careers within the ICANN framework within your country, you will often find another woman in another country doing a similar job to yours who will be able to share, and we think that's a good thing to encourage. I'm happy to have questions, comments.
Thank you, Leslie. And I think there's questions for both, and the great and wonderful Navid will have the microphone for questions, so put your hand up and we'll take them in order. Or he'll take it to the first person he sees, whichever. So for the record, per Marilyn, thank you, Carlos. Nicely timed. For those of you not in the room, Carlos has decided to make himself a cup of coffee just right now. He really took this be at home here seriously. Following Marilyn's advice from yesterday, for the record, your name and where you're from would be great.
Okay. So this is Leon from Mexico, and this question is for Tracy. I understand that GAC works under consensus, but has it been the have you been into the situation that there might be two or three different stances being discussed and there is no consensus reached? What do you do in that situation? I mean, if it's supposed to have a consensus and you don't reach that consensus and you are also obliged to advise the board on a certain matter, how do you solve that problem?
Yeah, so we bring our knives and our guns, and we, besides that, so the chair, Heather, in this particular scenario, is very strident, if I want to use that word, about getting consensus. So where there are situations such as not having, or there are multiple, maybe blocks of thought going on, we would break, and we would attempt to get consensus in the margins. So you would not, if it's going to be a deadlock in that room, you would tend to find a situation where we would break, and there would be side meetings and so on. And more often than not, there would be consensus. I haven't seen no one has died yet, and there's no blood spilled. So I think to a large extent, people are willing to compromise, and it's a matter of negotiation and trading off as to exactly what pieces you want to trade with and so on. Because nobody really wants to have no decision, right, as we know. So at the end of the day, everybody wants to get the essence of compromise is getting, I need to feel as if I've gotten something, as well as the other side. Once that happens, you tend to get the positions resolved. So the chair has been very good at trying to resolve that, and she's made it very clear to the vice chair, the new vice chair, is that our job is to help her achieve that consensus in the margins as well, especially in this meeting.
I mean, if I just add to that, consensus doesn't mean everybody has to agree, and particularly when there are difficult issues, it's finding a route that people don't feel distraught about often.
Thank you. My name is Sony. I'm from Indonesia and now in Malaysia. I have a question for each. about GAC, as much as GAC activities are well documented and measured against when it comes to advising ICANN from the government's perspective, but I also have an idea that I think it's correct to say that GAC is in between between the ICANN and the government. So is there any measures as to how GAC knows whether they actually communicate well with their own governments instead of advising ICANN all this while. But what about communicating whatever happens in ICANN to the governments? Is there any way or any measures that you control that you know that happening or not happening? The second question about the country code. I learned that some country code, maybe to name a few, like .tv, for example, if anyone from Tuvalu here, has also been used for commercial uses, just like others, like .fm, if I'm not mistaken. So what is the position here? Do they remain as a country code top-level domain, or what is the position about that? Thank you.
Okay, so in terms of the governments advising their, I guess what you'd call their capitals, so the GAC itself as a group or as an institution does not exist outside of ICANN. So the GAC doesn't write governments and doesn't communicate with governments. You know, it doesn't really work that way. But individual countries on the GAC do communicate to their, of course, their governments. So while it is that in the GAC, we can't control if, let's say, I'm a GAC member and I come to the meeting and I don't report back to my government what happened in the meeting, it's very likely that that would not be the case, because most governments have to give permission for their reps to be here. And the ministries or the agency who has sent you here, whether funded or otherwise, they would be inquiring as to what's happening. I'm seeing in particular in my region, in the Caribbean region, that there's more interest in the ICANN scenario, and especially since WICKET, especially since ICANN became a bit of an issue with the opening session and so on. So there is some discussion happening in terms of... what is ICANN and what happened in that meeting in Toronto, and what happened in that meeting in Beijing. And as I said in the presentation, we had a high-level meeting in Toronto where high-level officials from many of the GAC countries turned up and were informed, in some cases for the first time, what ICANN is about and what the GAC does. So it's a very hard question to answer. As I said, the GAC doesn't write governments. The GAC doesn't write, the President of the United States and say, well, here's what we do. But they relate to rely on the GAC members to do that job for them. Everything is on their website and all the information is there. And if members of the GAC wish to communicate with their governments, they could point them to the documentation on the website, etc. But there's no formal other institutional channel to get GAC information to their governments, I would say, no.
And your question regarding Tuvalu and other countries that also have a different meaning for the country code, my response would be that it's not a CCNSO matter, it's a matter for the country. And I am aware of some countries where there is a commercial operator who is selling .tv globally, because obviously it means television to some people. And the benefits of that go to the country. Excuse me. I remember seeing a very impressive presentation some time ago from Tuvalu, where they were showing a internet wireless mast that they had put in on the islands from the proceeds of these sales. Excuse me. So I think where there can be benefit back to the country and the local internet community support that is positive. There are other occasions where there is a country code manager who is outside of the country and the money goes in their bank account. And I know some people do not view that as positive, but it is a matter for the local government. And the local government and the local internet community should have a say in their country codes. And some countries have residency requirements to register in your country code. obviously that wouldn't work if you then wanted to sell globally. One size does not fit all.
This is Fatima from Argentina. I have a question to Tracy. How can we do, we as fellows, how can we do outreach in our countries in the case that our government are not participating in the GAC? What are your suggestions? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. My name is Kenfa from Ethiopia.
Oh, sorry. Okay, yeah. Right, so thanks, Fatima, for that. So that's a very good question, and it applies to everyone here. And I want to encourage everyone to do what I'm going to suggest. So when you go back home, for those who are in governments, I think it's a lot easier. I see my colleague from Jamaica who's from government here. You can communicate directly, obviously, in those scenarios. But for those who are in civil society or academia, etc., my advice to you is to either lobby through your existing recognized NGO organizations or academic institutions, or even CCTLDs where they may be powerful enough to get the attention of government, and indicate to your government through those institutions what's happening here. It's very difficult for one person to knock on the door and literally get the attention of a minister or bureaucrat. But through an organization that's recognized, I would recommend that there's ISOC, there's various computer societies in those organizations, as I said, CCTLDs. I would recommend strongly that you do that, as well as use the internet as far as possible. So you can, I assume in your countries, send information through to your governments through internet channels. What you can do is indicate to them, look, this is happening. For example, the WTPF is coming up in May, and that's an internet policy discussion run by the ITU. And many of your governments may be going to that, but many of them may not understand what ICANN's role is. So it's a good time to write and say, look, this is happening, here's what's going on, here's the discussions that are happening in ICANN. Here's what happened to Wicket from our perspective, if you didn't realize. And here's what we recommend as agency X or agency Y or person Y or person X. I think that's the way to do it. Don't try and be a voice in the wind. And it'll be very difficult, I think, to solve that problem that way.
Just quickly, we have about 12 minutes left to go. And are there any remote questions, or are you good? Okay, no remote. So, Navid,
Dennis,
who do we have next?
Yeah, Dennis, can I just add to that?
Yes, please,
response,
Leslie.
Because I think sometimes it is difficult to get governments or even country codes engaged. And one argument that I have seen working really well is talking about the economic benefit to your country of the internet growing in your country. In terms of selling to other countries worldwide and so on. So there are some lovely stories about how much of an economic difference the internet can make if it's used well in a country. And that often is very good at getting government attention.
So we have 12 minutes and I have 6 people. So it will be less than 2 minutes for each of you. Okay. Please.
Yeah.
And don't worry, I'll try to cover all of you. Relax.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gabi from Argentina. I have a question to Leslie. Leslie, you invited to get involved in CCNSO. But my question is, what kind of contribution we can do as a fellows or as an individual without working for a CCTLD, our CCTLD administrator or other? Thank you.
I think it's about finding the place that works for you, yeah? So obviously the CCNSO is mostly for country code operators, but I am a strong believer that end users need to have a voice, whether that's in global policy or local policy. And so bringing the voice of the end user or of business users is a very relevant thing to add to discussions here, because sometimes discussions can get very down into the weeds, the detail, forgetting the end user and the business users. So from whatever background you come, I think it's just finding your place, which is what you said earlier. It's finding what works for you and where you think you can make a difference.
Okay. So I'll, in fact, try to translate the question from a friend, a fellow from Comoros. And the questions, there are two questions, one from Tracy and one from Leslie. For Tracy, the question is that what kind of procedures generally, or what kind of methods generally GAC follows to outreach to the communities inside their constituency, or in fact inside the economy. So how do generally GAC outreaches the local stakeholders inside the economy to get their feedback as far as ICANN is concerned? And the question for Leslie is, when we talk about the CCNSO or CCTLDs, in fact, and their policies are different according to the different economies, is there a minimum set of guidelines or practices or standards that generally they follow for operations of CCTLDs? Thank you.
And so I have to have the answers be a little short if they can be too.
Right. So I just want to just clarify, make sure that the question is that how does the GAC inform local constituencies in their own country? Right. So just to reiterate quickly that the GAC, as I said before, does not exist outside of ICANN in the sense that it's an agency of ICANN. It's made up of individual government. So it's very difficult, I guess, for the GAC to reach out to its local constituencies. So government agencies will have to do that. And that's based on each country's model and each country's internet agenda and so on. So, I mean, it's a difficult question to answer, and especially in a short time frame. But based upon the maturity of the society, you'd find that there may be consultations run by one government in relation to this meeting, just as well, there may be nothing happening, zero. So you have that wide spectrum. So the best thing I could do is to advise you to speak to your GAC representative in your region or your country and ask what they are doing in their areas of influence.
I can be much shorter. The answer is no. That there isn't a common set of guidelines.
Carlos?
Good morning. My name is João Carlos Caribe. I'm from Brazil. And my question is not specifically for the Tracy, but there was about new JTLD. You told the GAC stay in the end of process. I need to understand how the end of process means the top of a decision chain. And another, I'm trying to understand, since I come to ICANN talking about any kind of people, so in how is the workflow for the new JTLD's decision? The conclusion I'm closing to do is this workflow are under construction. Can you say me about the priorities? For example, you chose the JTLD from my account, the .amazon. Amazon is a library, virtual library in the United States that wants to register this .amazon. And Amazon is a forest in my country. When this decision could be made under the GAC point of view?
That's a tough question.
We're hoping to have all decisions made on all issues related to GAC advice for new GTLDs by Thursday.
Yeah. If it helps, I'm aware that question's unanswered too, and I don't think you'll get an answer here to defend Tracy. So in my 3 o'clock this morning when I was wide awake, I was hearing about your discussions on just this issue yesterday. So the one good thing about this community as well is that we all talk to each other, so we do share the awareness of the issues. And if it were easy, it would have been resolved already, I suspect.
Hi, my name is Biran. I'm from Gambia. I just have a question for Tracy. How are people nominated into the GAC? Is it through the government? Do they have to go through an approval process through GAC, or how does it work?
Yes, that's a very good question. The procedure is being streamlined a little more now, but it really is supposed to come from your line ministry that's responsible for internet issues. And that ministry or that agency or that authority would recommend or nominate an individual or individuals to represent you on the GAC that is sent to the chair, and that is, I believe, now validated. So it's not just the accept who you are. I believe they return. They may return now to just inquire to ensure that those people are, in fact, who they are. Just to verify that it's all above board. The reason I understand for that is because of the many competing agencies in countries now. So you're going to find many competing agencies trying to, but it's coming from there's no one government rep position. It has to come from the ministry that has responsibility for the area in which this should fall under.
Sorry. This is Ahmed from Pakistan. We at Pakistan have same problem of free delegation. And we started the process for redelegation. Unfortunately, it could not be materialized. So what UK did, proper procedures to properly redelegate the .UK domain.
.UK has never been redelegated. It just had a change of person. I was promoted. Yeah. I'm aware this is messy. So the current work that we're doing, that when we have some time with the GAC, we will talk to them about, is clarifying, giving greater clarity to the current policy. But when we have done that, and by that conversation have identified the main failings of that policy, we will need to do a policy development process. I'm aware that a number of countries have had issues, and it's not straightforward, we know. Like lots of policies that were written a long time ago in a very different context, they don't stand well in the current context. I apologize.
And this will be our last question. But I will say what they need is the room to change over. And if Tracy and Leslie have a couple minutes, and I can't guarantee that, I'm not looking at them right now, they may be able to move to the back of the room or just outside to answer a couple more questions. So,
thank you. I'm Dasha from Russia. Thank you very much for the presentation. And my question goes, because I'm doing research on CCTLDs and the role of the government. Do I understand correctly that the governments are always involved in redelegation process, yes or no? And how? And in terms of the roles of CCNSO and GAC in the process of redelegation, what are the roles? And also, I was addressed by representatives of an unrecognized country like Nagorno-Karabakh. There are a few countries like Kosovo, unrecognized ones, who would probably want to have a CCTLD. And what would be the process just for them to participate, say, in GAC? Well, definitely not in CCNSO, as they don't have a TLD of their own. Thank you.
So, should the government be involved in a redelegation? My response to that would be yes, because you would be a part of the local internet community. But I do not know the policy off by memory. But the government obviously is one of the important people in the country to consult about a redelegation. Sometimes people would like a redelegation from government to somebody else who might run the country code a bit more efficiently. So it doesn't always work the way that some people would like it to. The how do you get to be a country code and how are you not a country code is determined by the ISO list. Yeah, if you're not on the list, you're not a country code. And there is a, yeah, you don't you can participate in the CCNSO, sorry? For GAC, okay. How do they participate if they're not a country code?
So my understanding how the GAC works is that it uses the UN list. So if you're not on the UN list of countries, then you would be challenged. But I'm stand to be corrected. I'm not sure if that's the position, but I believe that's the position. Yeah, so I would imagine that's how it's being dealt with.
Maybe if I can give you an example from my country. So Nominet is currently working with the Welsh government, which is a part of the UK. It's part of the UK. It's joined to the mainland, but Welsh people very much view themselves as a separate country. And they are going through the GTLD route to apply for .Wales. And so the representation will come through that whole GNSO process.
We have to go, as I forewarned. That's okay, Dasha. You'll be able to take the question, I'm sure, to the back of the room. So I just want to say thank you. I really enjoy the days when I can get both the GAC and the CCNSO in the same room. It's always a great discussion. And I really appreciate the questions that you all were raising here. And I think one of the two things that I got today, one is a reminder of how young we are. Of course, personally speaking, I tried to remain that way, but and it calls for a reprise of We Are Young Tonight at Music Night, Tracy. You know, we are young as an organization. When Leslie's talking about 1996 and 1999 from .UK and from her own engagement at ICANN, it feels forever for those of you very young in the room, my Net Mission ambassadors. We all sound ancient to you from 1996, I'm sure. But for those of us, you know, in the 50-ish range, you know, it's a blink. And so a reminder that we are young. We have a lot that hasn't yet evolved in internet policy in these years. There are a lot of things that still need change. They still need the voice. And so it's a reminder to all of you that, you know, this is why you want to get involved in the process now. There's never a, well, it's too late, or maybe it's not time. Now, because now's when your voice for your passion, for what you're seeing the gaps, where you're seeing the issues, now's the time to join the process. You're just going to have to swim a little faster to catch up a little bit. Someone told me yesterday, Rinalia from the At Large, when she came in, 6 months of just reading to get herself up to speed to where she wanted to be in the discussion. So it will take time and it will take energy, and we all have day jobs, but join the process, because that's the only way to be up here with Tracy and Leslie. And I just really appreciate everybody's enthusiasm this morning. It was great. So have a great day today, Constituency Day. Remember, we're all here on the other end of the line if you need help or guidance. If Tracy and Leslie have any spare time, to the back of the room, but they may need to get to their presentation. And tonight at 5 o'clock, we are in Function 10 with the security team of ICANN, who are going to answer any of your questions about security, cybersecurity, law enforcement, yada, yada, yada. It should be a good session. See you then.